when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We see a picture of Jesus Christ, and he is busy. He is at work. There are multitudes coming to him to hear his preaching and teaching as he's traveling around the region, speaking in their places of worship, their synagogues, and sharing the gospel of the kingdom. He was working miracles and healing diseases, demonstrating that he was the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. And the more he traveled, the more he saw, the more he realized there were just more people. There were more multitudes. And did it discourage him? No. Did it frighten him? No. We are told that he felt compassion, that his heart was for them. And his direction to his followers was, we need to pray. We need to pray to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, any farmer would tell you that there is a season when you need to plant and get the seed out in the soil. And there is a time when you need to water, and you need to nurture that soil, you need to cultivate it. But then there is a time for harvest. There is a time when it's ready. There is a time when it is mature. There is a time when you need to bring it in and strike on that time. Bring it in for harvest. The Lord told multitudes, and he said, there's people who are ready. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are ready for the gospel. So what did Jesus tell them to do? He told them to pray. He told them to pray for more workers to be sent. And then if you notice, Matthew chapter 10, it picks up right there. We have the account of the Lord appointing 12 apostles. The word apostle means one who is sent, a sent one. He said there's more laborers. We need to send out laborers to do that work. And then he goes about the business of following up by selecting his 12 that he would train and work with in a special way and truly send them out to preach the gospel. I learned from the reading this morning and what I want us to consider. It's first where we are as a church today, all right? As a local church in this place, we are to be the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says. What does the church exist for? Well, it exists for the glory of God. But its purpose is to be the support, the mainstay, the column, the pillar of the truth. You think about Grecian architecture and Roman architecture, those great pillars in front of all the businesses, or the businesses, buildings, I should say, temples. Those pillars, everyone knew what that was about. And they held up the roof. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. We're holding it up, the gospel for the world. And we share the commission given the apostles first, but to all the disciples of Jesus Christ to go into the world and to preach the gospel. By Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We need to pray to the Lord of harvest about our laborers as well as our labors. For just a few moments this morning, I'm going to remind you about some of the current laborers and labors that are going on right now. We're going to pray corporately about these things to the Lord, and then I'm asking you to make a special effort to remember these things in your own prayer life over the next couple of weeks. But pray to the Lord of the harvest about our laborers, as we are going out into fields for harvest. Number one in your notes, we need to pray to the Lord for the harvest, or of the harvest, rather, for the local laborers. There's a lot of work that's been going on this summer. It's about to go on at the church here at Jackson Heights. We just finished the Vacation Bible School, and it was really, really positive. I haven't got the chance to go over all the numbers yet, but I know from the first part of the week that we had more than 90 students on Mondays and Tuesdays, and I think we had another 88 on Wednesday. And to put that in perspective for you, about the last 3 years, I think the most students we've had on a given night was 88. started a new quarter this morning. And that involved a lot of work the last 2 days because we're trying to take VBS down, and we're trying to put the building back together, and we're trying to get set up. And, you know, I don't think there was any fires in the building or anything. I mean, y'all did great. Been working on that, preparing on that to teach the Word of God. And this is an effort week in and week out on Sundays and Wednesdays. But what are we trying to do? We're trying to plant seeds and encourage a harvest. We need to pray the Lord about it. There's neighborhood Bible studies going on right now that El Jenny and Adam and I have been doing some door knocking. Others came along and helped us and went and door knocked. And we did some neighborhood studies in the Sacred neighborhood. And we just finished up one in Cranford Hollow neighborhood. That one's not even done. We've got another one this Thursday night. And what's so interesting about that one, I want to just fill you in on the story, is that some people from the Sagewood neighborhood who couldn't come to that study hung onto the card and the information about it, and they called the number, which was Ben's number, processor, and wanted to know, is this study going on? We want to go to the study. We can come now. And so they're actually coming from the Sagewood neighborhood over to Cranford Hollow neighborhood. Now, we've kind of given up on the neighborhood, thought that was done. But it's not done. And we're praying for the Lord to harvest, all right? That He will bless those efforts and those studies. Now, there are some brethren in our congregation who are committed to weekly praying for evangelistic efforts. And Landon Lovell has been leading that effort and doing a great job. If you'd like to have the updates week in and week out of what's going on evangelistically, talk to Landon. He's sending out an email list and a very well-written devotion encouragement about the power of prayer. Now, if you've been getting that list as I have, you notice that, you know, it doesn't update every week. We don't have it a change in our evangelistic efforts every single week. But I'll tell you, the prayers are no less important. We need you to keep praying for what's going on because it's ongoing. So that works kind of a slow work, sort of like when you plant a seed and you wait a season for it to mature and then ultimately you get to bring in the harvest. Yeah, that's what we're doing. And so please keep praying for that and talk to Landon if you'd like to have more information. Local labor is going on right now. Our website got a new look and a new launch about 2 months ago, and Doug Hardy's been working on that. It's so awesome. If you go and click on that this afternoon, he's got all of the lessons from PBS this week. You can hear Adam Jones, who did a fantastic job preaching, and that's when they talk about. Click on that and hear some of Adam's teaching, some of his lessons. That's a great tool to show other friends and people who would like to know more about us. Well, I can go to the website, to the BibleWay.org. And look, I know there's a lot more going on for life in the local church. And I may not have hit on the work that you're right now invested in. I'm not trying to devalue your efforts or your work at all. There's a lot that goes on. But what we are focusing on this morning is this idea of working in the field. Just as Jesus saw the multitudes and said, we need more workers to reach them. Those are the kind of labors we're talking about today in our efforts to reach out to the multitudes. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for the local labors. Right now, I'm going to ask one of our elders, Brother Rufus Clifford, if he would Christian Bible school in the morning. They do door knocking and home Bible studies in the afternoon. And in the evening, there's a sort of a gospel meeting, open air preaching that goes on. And so, I mean, it's just one effort after another to talk to the kids and talk to the parents and talk to the community all about Jesus Christ. And there's been a wonderful relationship. Of course, we've had Brother Vigilant here in the past, and we support him in his work there. And now Dominica is a faithful gospel preacher. But there's a lot of travel to be done. There's a lot of people we care a whole lot about who are going to work this. We want to remember them in our prayers as they make this journey and this task. They're going out in the fields this next week. And so by name, we want to think about Brother Charlie Norman and the Pogues, Adam and Alicia, and Brother Jason Bartlett and Brother Brian Nash. You remember Brian because he worked with us last summer in a preacher training program, and he wanted to go back to Dominica and try it again. Work there again. Brother Mike Young is going, and Sister Clemery Clifford, Sister Rebecca Hartsfield, Sister Pam Siokas. Now, these people are taking their time, their vacation, and their dime to pay their way to go down to Dominica to go into this field of labor down there. And we love them for that. We wish them all the best and Godspeed, and we need to pray for them. I know good things have happened because of this effort in the last couple of years, that Elkin's gotten some leads, and there have been some Bible studies, and it makes a difference, and it helps him in his labors. And those brethren are always so hospitable and kind to make arrangements and accommodations for those that go down to share with them and share in that work. And we need to pray to God about it. Pray that the Lord will harvest about it. Because we think about our own, we're going for a time, for a little over a week. Let's not forget either that there are a number of preachers that we support in other fields, and we need to pray for them. Pray to the Lord of harvest on their behalf. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, the Apostle Paul repents to the church at Philippi. I'm blasting pictures of the men that we're supporting. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, he's talking about how the church at Philippi supported him when he left Philippi, when he went to new fields and new places to preach the gospel. In Philippians 4 and verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. They supported him, and they supported him to preach the gospel and go into the fields when other churches were not supporting him. They were the first. They sent directly to him, directly to his need, and that's the way we do it. And there's a number of men in other places that our congregation is supporting or sharing in support to preach the gospel. Like our brother Toll Burke, who has mentioned our prayers because he is in failing, troubling health this morning. And we want to especially remember him in Dana in Puerto Rico. Brother Vigilant in La Plaine, Dominica. Brother Josh Weber, who just started supporting, he's had his first month now in Albany, New York. Brother Shirley Mullins in Cleveland, Virginia, who has supported for a number of years, and Brother Glenn Young in Panama, Virginia. We get the reports from all of these men. We get them from Les Maydell in South Africa and Norman Sand in South Africa. Places, many places you and I have trouble ever getting to. And yet they're there, they're working among the community, among the population, preaching the gospel. And many of them are traveling even beyond their own community, going up into Zimbabwe and Tasmania, all over the Caribbean for years now, preaching the gospel. We share in that effort. We share in supporting them in their labors as they go out into the field. We need to pray on their behalf. Hold on for all of them. Right now we're going to ask Brother Bradley Duggar if he would to come and lead us in a prayer. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for our labors to Dominica and others in the field. that time had to be evangelistic. Somebody wasn't afraid to talk to the biker man. Some girl was going to bring her atheist boyfriend to church even though she knew she was going to hear about it on the ride home. Somebody was willing to talk to a drug addict. The church was being evangelistic today. There are teachers and preachers of the gospel for tomorrow. If we're not being evangelistic, there's not going to be any more teachers and preachers. We've got to talk to people. We've got to talk to people about the gospel. We need to labor in that. That's where preachers and teachers come from people converting and becoming Christians. We love to hear those stories. I'm going to tell you there's a second task about raising up preachers and teachers from the local church, and that is we need to be training our youth that properly. Because just as there's a place for a Paul, and we love those Paul kind of conversion stories, there's a place in the church for Timothy's. They got a whole different background, don't they? In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote to this young minister, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." In the third chapter of the same epistle, 2 Timothy 3, and verse 14, he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." There's some people who grow up with the blessing of having a Christian home. But you know what? Mother, grandmother with Timothy were teaching him about the Scriptures, even from childhood, the Scriptures. They were doing a job to instill in him the truth. We need to be doing that as well today. We need to be evangelistic in talking to people who are outside the body of Christ. But we need to be mindful of the precious gifts, resources for the kingdom that God has blessed us with in our care. And that's the children. That's the youth. Sometimes you hear Christians say things like, "Well, I don't know how I can talk to people about becoming a Christian or converting. You know, my life was so tame. I grew up in a Christian home. They always took me to Bible class." Well, how about, did you ever repent of your self-righteousness? You think because you never axe murdered somebody, you never lied? You didn't get somebody pregnant out of wedlock, but you never gossiped? We like to sweat sins and say, "Oh, look at this horrible sinner. Look how the gospel reached him." The gospel's for all sinners. Many young people don't understand that they need Jesus Christ because of their own moral and sinfulness and shortcomings. Many of them don't know somebody else there, but you're a sinner before Almighty God, and Jesus Christ died for you. A lot of things we need to repent and do better at. Follow closely the Word of God. If we're blessed with the opportunity of knowing the knowledge of the gospel from a young age, well, as I've already said once this morning, to whom much is given, much is required.